Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Mornings with the Outlaw. I am the Outlaw, John Rocha, here coming to you live for one of the last few times from this particular studio in this particular city. We're on the countdown now with me moving to a new city very, very soon. I haven't announced yet where that will be, but I think a lot of people know exactly where I might be going. So we're in final negotiations now, so we're excited to be marching towards that. But I am also excited to be back together again with my co-host here, Alex Shawshak. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good. Did you have any call to action stuff last night, or what were we all doing last night?
It was really, really fun. We had a Schmobates themed, Schmobates was what we were doing last night. We had swag on. It was really great. We had Ace Cabrera versus RB3. Ooh. So it was a little in the meaning of, you know, debating Smart. Going on. And also I had Winston as my co-host, obviously. And the big reveal at the end was like so much fun with the ghost judge.
Oh, yeah. Do you want to reveal who it was, or you got people have to watch?
You have to watch, guys. All that's right. Fun. It's a fun one. Watch. It's a fun one. No one guessed it in the comments. So
really?
It was very, oh, wow. Yeah. No one guessed it. And I was just like, this is surprising, but I'm here for it either way.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Yeah. If you guys haven't been watching Schmobates, you're missing out on a great show over there on the call to action page. They're a lot of fun. And I've participated in a couple. They're a lot of fun. So you should definitely get involved in that. Shout out to Winston and Swag. Drip, doing great stuff on the heels of what happened yesterday with a particular match that was dropped. I mean, Swag is doing its thing. You got to give it love. He is absolutely on a roll, this man, and a lot of love for what he's doing in the Schmodown. Couldn't be happier for Winston Marshall, for sure. But we are here to talk about all kinds of stuff going on in the world of entertainment over the next hour and 15 minutes or so, up until about 9:45. And then we got to jump off out of here, and I got to get ready to go and host on SCN Live as well. But we're going to take care of you for the next hour and 15 minutes. And remember, this is a show, and this is a channel that lives on your Streamlabs and your Super Chats. Do you love the show? Do you love Mornings with the Outlaw? Do you want to keep it going? And special guest Alex Shawshak, I should say that. Please send in your Streamlabs, send in your Super Chats. We want to keep doing the show. We love doing the show, but we got to have the support in order to do the show. So that depends on you all and how much you enjoy the show as well. So give us some love. Jump into all of this, and let's have some fun. Alex, are you ready?
Man, let's do this. I've been fighting all day. I want to do some more.
You've been fighting?
Oh, no, I mean, okay. I'm prepping. I have a debate coming tonight. Oh. So I'm like prepping for some more debates. So
right on. You're getting into it. Like, you got your debate going.
My blood is boiling and I'm so excited.
I love it. All right. Well, the first thing we've got going on today is the PS5 got announced yesterday. Let's bring that up here, show people the beautiful pictures of the PS5 that we got set up here. There it is. Look at that beautiful thing there. The PS5 was announced yesterday. It was a big, big deal. They had a showcase and press releases and the whole nine. They confirmed that there will be exclusive titles from Sony Interactive Entertainment's worldwide studios, and that it will be priced at launch from $499 to, oh, I'm sorry, the titles will be priced from $49.99 to $69.99. And then they will discuss supporting both the new to PlayStation and the existing PS4 community and transitioning over to the PS5. Another thing to find out about this is they confirmed that PS4 versions of Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, Sackboy, A Big Adventure, and Horizon Forbidden West will be available. The games were designed to take advantage of PS5 and its unique features, like its ultra high speed SSD and DualSense controller. So the PS4 version will have to be downgraded quite a bit. Those who purchase a PS4 digital version of launch games get a free upgrade on both PS5 consoles, while the PS4 disc versions of these games include a free upgrade on the PS5 with ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive. Alex, I got to tell you, I got lucky last night. I know that they were selling out all over the place. I had a suspicion that if I stayed up until midnight, Best Buy would release some new ones right at the stroke of midnight. And sure enough, at 12:05 a.m. here on the West Coast, I went on the Best Buy website and I was able to get myself a PS5 that will be coming on November 12th. So I'm incredibly excited. Look, I work hard for the money I make and for the stuff I earn. So if I can reward myself a little bit when things like this pop up, and I don't always do this, I definitely wanted to do that for the PS5, so I'm looking forward to it. So now I got to work on selling my Xbox One X. So if anybody's out there who wants an Xbox One X that has 4K drive with a bunch of games, sports games, and a couple of other games like Arkham and whatever, I will happily sell it to you for a decent price. All right, Alex, what do you think about all this announcement, this hoopla, the craziness? It shut down servers on GameStop, on Best Buy, on Target. It was shutting things down all over the place because the demand was so high. Are you a gamer person? Are you a console person? Are you excited about this happening?
Well, thing is, I'm not a huge gamer, to be completely honest. However, I was reading through this article personally, and I was somehow still excited reading about it. Thing is, what I thought was very interesting is that they really kind of talked about how they're not so much including a streaming service version of our games. Yeah. Mm-hmm. However, they're including a huge library that's going to be accessible for those that have this console. And, you know, for me, when it comes to programs and, you know, streaming services and everything, to me, more is more. Like, give me all of them. I want to know about everything. So I was like really excited. Plus, I like I said, I don't play games personally. I'm not personally not a huge gamer. I haven't been in since in middle school when I was when I played a lot. However, I love watching Lucas play games. Like, it's just weird. Like, I would be like, I would like sketch, or I would read a book or something, and we would just be hanging out after dinner, and I would watch him just play, you know, Horizon Zero Dawn, and or Red Dead Redemption, and I actively paid attention. And I just like, and especially Horizon Zero Dawn, I loved watching him play that, loved it. And they're just so, the games coming out now are just so beautiful. They're so much fun. And visually, they're stunning.
Yes.
Stunning. So it's hard not to get into it like a regular movie, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the new Harry Potter game that they released that trailer, I think yesterday, that was exquisite. That was an exquisite trailer. And of course, we'd gotten the Miles Morales one a little bit ago, so the people already knew what we would get with that. It's going to be a DLC one, so that was exciting as well on a lot of levels. So there's a lot here to explore and have fun with on the PS5, but also the PS4 games will be available on this. The thing with the PS5 is finally it has an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive, which is as close to 4K as you're going to get, I guess. And that's pretty cool, because that was the big reason why I took the Xbox One X over the PS4 Pro, was that the Xbox One X had a 4K drive. So the fact that this one has an Ultra HD Blu-ray disc drive is pretty cool. They'll be launching the PlayStation Plus collection with free downloads of 18 top PlayStation 4 titles, included Uncharted 4, Thief's End, God of War, Bloodborne, The Last of Us Remastered, Infamous Second Son, Persona 5, Detroit Become Human, which is a pretty cool game, Until Dawn, The Last Guardian, and Ratchet and Clank. Most of their exclusives for the lifespan of the console. Most of these will be exclusives for the lifespan of the console, though missing a handful of the biggest key titles like Marvel Spider-Man, Ghost of Tsushima, Horizon Zero Dawn, The Last of Us Part II, Death Stranding, Uncharted, The Nathan Drake Collection, and Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. They confirmed that launch titles for the PS5 include Marvel Spider-Man, Miles Morales, which I will be getting, The Demon's Souls Remaster, Sackboy, Big Adventure, Destruction All-Stars, and the pre-installed Astro's Playroom. Marvel Spider-Man Miles Morales will come in two editions, a standard $49.99 version, and then a ultimate deluxe edition for $69.99. So there's a lot to be had here, a lot to explore here. It's got new photo mode, three new Spider-Man suits in the Spider-Man game, and the 60 FPS performance mode like the new game. So much to explore and enjoy here. I couldn't be more excited about this. Because I like the PlayStation more than the Xbox. I'm one of those people. I took the Xbox, like I said, because of the 4K drive, but I've missed my PlayStation. So finally, to be able to come back home, especially that new sleek design was pretty cool. I'm down with it. So, like you said, you're not the biggest gamer, but like do you think this is the way you do this, right? This is the way you announce it. This is the way you kind of take advantage of the situation.
Yeah, I mean, overall, I mean, it felt like a really big launch. As someone that is not involved in the gaming community, that doesn't actively, know about launches and stuff like this, I knew about it, you know, and, you know, even though Lucas and I weren't talking about it per se, I heard about it online. I could see stuff going absolutely nuts on social media. And, you know, maybe I know it's not for me. However, I'm excited for them, and I'm so excited to hear more from this. Lucas. And like I said, I may not play games, but I love watching Lucas play games.
Yeah.
And like, and also I have the vinyl for the most recent Spider-Man game. Oh shoot. With Miles Morales. Yeah. I have the vinyl for that whole soundtrack. So it's, dude, they're so good. It's just so beautiful how they did it. Oh my gosh. That Doc Ock fight.
Oh yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It's incredible stuff.
It's so good. It's great. And
Sony clarified that their free upgrade policy for PS4 cross-gen games will require you to own the PS5 with a disc drive if you own a physical PS4 version of the game. So Ghost of Tsushima is something that I've been waiting to play, but I've been waiting until the PS5 came out to get that version. If there isn't a PS5 version, then I'll obviously buy the PS4 and just upgrade and put it onto the thing.
Isn't that the game where there's like a it's like heavily inspired or at least visually of the Seven Samurai?
Yeah. Kind of, they have a, they have a, what do you call it? Like, they have a Kurosawa mode where you can play it in black and white, and it's just, and the music and all of that very, very awesome feeling through the whole game. Absolutely.
I would I would love to see like any game, honestly, like take on more, things like that, get a little more creative. Like, I would love to see some kind of Quentin Tarantino like, can you imagine it? Like Kill Bill, or like it could be like the point of view, like a Pulp Fiction, Reservoir Dogs, ensemble kind of situation where you get like the Tarantino adaptation, you know, visually random blood splattering, you know, someone just yelling fuck, 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 you know, random times, you know, just you know, whatever it may be. So that would be so much. So much fun and so cool to see.
Yeah, agreed. Absolutely. A lot of people commenting already about how much they're enjoying this idea that it's coming out. And some people are bummed that they couldn't pre-order. Some people did get a pre-order. So pretty cool stuff. And it's a massive launch. And so congratulations to Sony and to the PS5 makers. Hopefully, bless you, when people play this thing and test this thing, they really love it. We have another viable console on the market for people to enjoy and dive into for sure. Yeah.
Question for you. Did you, what do you think of this kind of alien setup that they released?
Oh yeah, I like it. It's sleek design. It's white, which was a nice difference from the black that we've had for the last few times. So it's a nice difference. It's got a white and black combination there. It's pretty cool. I like it. It feels futuristic, and so because it feels futuristic, I'm 1,000% on board with it. We've had the black versions for a number of years, and the black versions were sleek and cool and all of that, but I like this white version as a nice change of pace. The combo of both the blue light on the white, it just looks great with the black right there as a as an accent. So to me, overall, absolutely fantastic. So I'm excited for it on so many levels, and I can't wait to have it in the new place. And I've already got a place for it. I've already got a setup for it in my head where I'm going to put it. So I'll be playing a lot. So maybe you'll find me on Twitch a lot more after November 12th when I can start playing these games and set this all up. We shall see. We shall see. but people are losing it. I know Haskell keeps trying to buy it and he gets lost in the checkout process. That's the sad truth of it.
I'm sorry, my dude. That sucks.
Anthony G, I might be able to afford a PS6 version in a few years. Oh, come on, Anthony. Cut it out, Andrew G. All right, let's see. We got
They are. I mean, I'm not gonna lie. They are expensive.
Yeah, you know?
They're definitely a good chunk of money for sure.
Yeah, that's why I've been saving the money that I have so I can get that thing. I've been, since they announced it, I was on all those pre-orders, and I was like, I'm going to set aside this. Every month, I just set aside a little bit. So when it happened, I was able to get it. So I thought I was only going to have to put down like a little bit, but apparently you had to put down the whole thing to get it. So I don't know if it's sold out. You can keep trying. They're supposed to do it all day today, kind of releasing them periodically. So you're going to have to basically sit by your console or your Mac or your computer or your phone all day, or your iPad or whatever, and try to get it every single time. So it's insane. Let's see. Okay. Let's see where we got here. All right. We've got some Streamlabs and some super, or a couple of Streamlabs have come through. Ladies and gentlemen, please keep sending in your Streamlabs and super chats. Let us know what you want to talk about, what questions you have. Ben Rayner, thank you so much for your donation. Said, hey, Roka and Alex, happy Thursday. Keep one trilogy, rent a trilogy, and lose a trilogy. Okay. The Iron Man trilogy, the Thor trilogy, and the Captain America trilogy. For me, I would keep Cap, rent Thor, and hate to say it, I'd lose Iron Man, but that's just me. All right, so which trilogy would you keep, rent, and lose? Iron Man, Thor, or Captain America?
I would keep Iron Man, rent Ooh. Captain America, and lose Thor.
Wow. Even with Thor Ragnarok, that's not enough to let you keep it, to make you keep it.
That's one out of the three movies. Let's calm down.
That's fair.
I love Thor Ragnarok. And that's my second favorite. That's actually legit my second favorite behind Black Panther, favorite MCU movie personally. Right. I know that's considered a controversial choice. I don't know why. But yeah, that's just me. The thing is, I feel like, you know, we wouldn't have the MCU if it wasn't for Iron Man.
True.
And so, I have to keep the first one, obviously. Yeah. And the second and third one, I know they're considered a little more controversial. I think they're underrated personally, but I do know not everyone agrees.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say that I'd have to keep the Captain America trilogy. I would have to rent. Yeah, I'd have to rent the Iron Man trilogy, and I'd have to lose the Thor trilogy. I think I would, because I don't know though. No, maybe I guess I lose the Iron Man trilogy and I rent the Thor trilogy. I just think Ragnarok is better than all three of those Iron Man movies, separately or together. But then again, the charm of Robert Downey Jr. is tough to ignore. All right, fine. I'll keep Thor. I'll rent Iron Man and drop Thor. Heartbreaking as it may be, I think that's the right choice. Because I like Iron Man 3 more than most people. I actually do enjoy that
movie. I do. I do as well. Right? I like how it tackles stronger themes than it did in previous movies. I love it. Yeah. I like how it tackles PTSD and depression and everything. And those are definitely themes that hasn't really been tackled since, unfortunately. And I don't like Shane Black at all. I think he's the worst. But but I really, really enjoy that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. So. All right. There you go, Ben. We've answered your question. Thank you so much for the donation. Andrew G said, Hey, Canadian Cheryl here. Just wanted to say, if you're not a patron yet, go on it, because you're missing out on some great times in the Discord. Yes. Yeah, last night hangout was hilarious. I needed it after a rough day. Thanks, Outlaw Nation. Yeah, I'm telling you, thank you so much, Andrew G. And we had so much fun last night, hour and a half just hanging out. And I think they hung out afterwards, the crew that was there, all the patrons that were there. I'm so proud of the Discord. I'm so proud of what we've created in the Outlaw Nation. Very open, non-toxic, fun, playful time. We just have a good time talking about each other, or talking about each other's interests and busting balls and having fun. And everyone feels heard. Everyone feels represented. And we're a diverse group of people. And we're all in on it. And we all love having fun with each other. So I'm very, very proud of. And there's no drama, no issues. No one ever has issues with anybody. It's fantastic. I love the Outlaw Nation Discord. I'm very proud of what we've built there. I'm very proud that it's an interactive thing and we all get an equal say on things. So just fantastic. So if you haven't joined my Patreon, I can't encourage you enough to come on and join at the $5 level, $10 level and above. And you can have access to the Discord you can have this Discord anyway, but you get access to the Patreon hangouts that we do on Wednesdays, which are the Discord hangouts. And then the $10 and above get the on-camera hangouts, which we usually do on Fridays if I don't have a match. And we hang out and have a good time talking about life and everything like that. So, yeah, thank you, Andrew G. And I'm glad we picked up your spirits, brother. You all did the same for me for sure last night. It was a stressful day yesterday. So thank you so much for the donation. All right, let's see where we're at right now. Yeah, all right, no Streamlabs. No Super Chats. No new ones have come in. So let's move on to our next conversation. Our next conversation here, Alex. Oh, real quick, there's 155 of y'all watching, but only 57 likes. Come on, people, let's get those likes up. Hit that thumbs up button. Move that cursor over there. Use your mouse. Move it about two inches over and hit that thumbs up button. Give us some likes. We like to get above 150 likes. As close to 200 likes as possible before we end every show. So thank you. All right, let's move on to WandaVision. WandaVision, that is, it's been announced that is still happening in 2020. That's right. WandaVision is still happening in 2020. They are still all systems go on that one and pushing it forward to be dropped here as the year goes along. And I'm excited about this. There were rumors that they weren't sure where it was going to be because of Black Widow. And of course, we got the announcements, which we'll talk about in just a second, about Black Widow as well. But WandaVision right now on task to drop this year. So a lot of people were concerned, excuse me, about whether it was going to happen or not, but it is definitely happening, and that's an exciting situation for a lot of people who are Marvel fans. And look, we know Disney was killing it. We know Disney was killing it, but WandaVision is the one that's going. And according to Disney, this is their press release, with the first anniversary of Disney Plus on November 12th, the service will kick off its second year with even more original entertainment premiering in late 2020, including WandaVision, the upcoming original series from Marvel Studios. So it's coming after November 12th. They haven't officially released what date, but it is coming in 2020, just after November 12th, which is ironically the same day that those PS5 come out. So interesting, busy day on November 12th. But they also announced a bunch of new titles here coming up before November 12th and after November 12th, Alex. They've got a show called Becoming from LeBron James and Maverick Carter. It's about entertainers and athletes in their own words. That's coming up this Friday. Then they've got Bend It Like Beckham series based on the movie Ever After, which is, of course, based on the Drew Barrymore movie. I don't know if you've ever seen that.
Obviously, of course I have.
I'm sorry. Next Friday is The Secret Society of Secondborn Royals, the magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom. I remember watching Animal Kingdom when I was a kid, so it's nice to see that coming back. Josh Gad will be narrating that. Hidden Figures. So they're going to drop that over there. The Fault in Our Stars. So those are those movies that are going to drop onto Disney Plus, rather. Then in October, Simpsons season 31, the entire season, 31st season of The Simpsons. Can't believe it's still going. Incredible stuff. That is being dropped there. The Right Stuff, which is an original series based on the Tom Wolfe novel, which, of course, was the basis for the movie from 1981, I think, for The Right Stuff, which starred a lot of up-and-coming actors who we've seen in numerous things. X2 will drop as well. The Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader. Those films will be dropping in October. Clouds drops on October 16th. Meet the Chimps, which is a new original series where they take you into a wildlife sanctuary called Chimp Haven in Louisiana. Friday, October 23rd, which is my birthday. Shout out October 23rd. Once Upon a Snowman, which is the Olaf new Olaf series that is dropping there, or show rather. The Big Fib is dropping there. Then, of course, Friday, October 30th, The Mandalorian season 2. Boom. That drops. And then Tuesday, November 15th is the Lego Star Wars Holiday Special, which is, of course, a playful take on the 1978 Star Wars Holiday Special, which is a special of legend. Then on November 18th, The Wonderful World of Mickey Mouse. And then on November 20th, Marvel's 616, which explores Marvel's rich legacy of pioneering characters, creators, and storytelling. There, Planes drops there as well. Apparently Mulan will be there with premiere access, The Greatest Showman, Phineas and Ferb, Candace Against the Universe, and Wolverine. You will get Black Beauty, a contemporary film adaptation of the classic story, of course, that was done back in the 80s as well. Inside Pixar, a never-before-seen look into Pixar Animation Studios. On Point, which is a new docu-series about students at the School of American Ballet. And then WandaVision after that. So a lot of stuff coming for us here on Disney Plus. Are you a Disney Plus subscriber, Alex? Are you excited about these shows? Are you excited that WandaVision is still happening this year? This incredibly anticipated series with Elizabeth Olsen and Paul Bettany.
I have to say, yes, I am a subscriber to Disney Plus. I have been for a while now. And every week or so, I just go through the entire filmography that they have available on there. And I'm like, what do I want to watch today?
Yeah.
And 9 times out of 10, nothing jumps out at me. And because it's just, you know, it's just the way it is. You know, unfortunately, because outside of, you know, because there was like a handful of the docu series, which I thought was fun. I'm one of those people that prefers, like, I like some of the documentaries and stuff. I like to have that going on in the background while I clean the house or, you know, whatever it may be. And, you know, the one with Jeff Goldblum was so much fun. I love one. I like marathoned that one in like a day though. But since then, I mean, outside a lot of the Disney classics and stuff like that, you know, there's nothing that's really kind of caught my eye at all. So I'm excited for a lot of these newer shows that, and some of them already, you know, by reading up on them, have me really, really curious and excited to see more of it. Yeah. And also, I would love to take more advantage, considering I pay like $10 a month for Disney Plus. I actually want to use it. So.
Right, right. Fair point. You know? Yeah, absolutely. There is a lot. Yeah, I occasionally will, you know, kind of just sit there for 30 minutes and look at stuff that's on there and see and be surprised by all the amount of content that are actually on there. So, yeah, I agree with you 1,000%. I love that a lot of these Marvel shows are coming out. Thank you, Andrew G, for correcting me. Yes, 616, Marvel 616. Apologize. But yeah, those are all coming out. I'm excited about all the different variety of content that Disney Plus is doing. And look, they're doing original series and they're doing, you know, they're dropping these movies and picking up these movies and whatever. And so I'm excited about all of that as well. So to me, I mean, I think streaming services are becoming the way to go. I think I know a lot of people are like, oh, a theater's coming back. Are we going back to the theater? It seems like these studies were correct as we've seen these box offices for Tenet. Alex, it was, as we see what we're going to talk about here in just a second in our next story, we're seeing these movies start to move off their release dates and go to other places, and people feel more comfortable staying at home and watching the stuff. They've gotten used to it, you know? And so even if these movies come out in theaters, will people be going? Even if they give the all clear, will people go back and have the same experience? I don't know. So we shall see, because these cinema, these streaming services are certainly making it possible for you to sit at home and never run out of content. When people say, oh, new content is to me a tricky term, because anything you've never seen is essentially new to you. So that's essentially new content. And there is plenty of new content on every streaming service that you could explore and enjoy. And doesn't mean that it had to come out in 2020. So that's just my two cents.
I totally agree on that for sure. It's it's hard not to compete with these streaming services and the great content they're doing. Let's face it, it used to be the golden age of TV. Right now, we're in a new golden age of TV.
Yeah.
Television is on the same level and in some cases surpasses, you know, film. You know, I mean, do we want to talk about, you know, the new series on Hulu, you know, Woke? Oh my gosh, right. Show is hilarious. Go check it out if you haven't seen it. You know, but a lot of, I mean, they're really great quality TV shows, you know, out with really great and notable actors that are funny, really great production. And it feels really, and it feels like a, it feels almost like a movie considering the quality of it overall. We've kind of talked about, you know, the real downside of theaters and everything pretty extensively on the show, obviously.
Yeah.
However, what I think is a real small pro about going about this is that because we are doing, there's going to be, I think, a higher demand for VOD kind of situations. Yeah. Because of the lack of opportunity to go in theaters, obviously, I do think that that means there's going to be more studios are going to be asking to do smaller budgeted movies. You know, that means when it comes to these smaller budget kind of films, I do think that also means that films are more likely to be riskier or edgier. They can have more fun with the directors. They're allowed to have more fun when it comes to creating them. Yeah. And, you know, they're just allowed to be more risky because of the smaller budget and, you know, not going to theaters. So it's like, why not? Right. You know? And so, especially since a lot of them are going straight to streaming right away as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I do think that although it is an unfortunate situation we are in, you know, and how we are, everything is just streaming services and everything. Right. I do think that we are going to be expecting some weirder movies in the near future, which I'm so excited for.
Well, I'm down with that. Absolutely. We've got a few donations here that rolled through here for the Streamlabs. Let me run through them. 50 Shades of Geek says, the notification for this show dropped while I was recording my own show. I can't watch live. Just wanted to thank you for giving me a topic to talk about on my show. Well, you're welcome. I might get the new PS5 for this new Hogwarts game. I love how he's just like, I might get it. Like, it's just hanging out there. I might get it. Please, these are going to be sold out, pal. This is not a kind of I might get things. And he said, hey, Alex, you do that here, right? All right. Yes, you do. I think donate. I think he's the same one. All right. Ryan donated. Said, hi, John and Alex. I'll wait till summer 2021 for a PS5. I bought PlayStation 2, 3, and 4 on launch dates and have a bad pattern of not playing it after 2 weeks due to hype loss and getting bored easily. I'll wait till Gotham Knights come out. Yeah, good point. A lot of people do buy these things. It's that sticker thing. Oh, I got to have it. And then they don't play it. But if you're a console person, and I use my console a lot, then to unwind, and this is the one that you want to definitely be getting. But I get your point, absolutely. And Gotham Knights, that trailer that they dropped at DC Fandom, that was a fun trailer to watch. I know some people complained about the same stuff all over again, but the graphics looked incredible. So I'd be down to get Gotham Knights as well. Andrew G, yeah, what about you, Alex? You said you're not a console person. Does Lucas wait to buy it, or does he buy it like day of?
It just kind of depends on what. Oh, like if anything catches his eye, honestly, yeah. I'm never going to tell him, hey, don't do it. Honestly. Mm-hmm. Now maybe a little bit. So just because we're in the process of moving and like, we don't need another piece of technology to go with us in the moving process. Yeah. But you know, like I said, it's, you know, it's like a bonding experience for us when we, you know, when I watch him play games, thing. And I'm like, no, dude, you have to do it faster. No, you have to go here. And I'm like helping, and I'm attempting to help him problem solve when it comes to play games and everything. But yeah, I'm always encouraging him. If it's like, hey, if there's a game or a console or whatever that we can do better with, why the heck not? Just do it.
I like it.
Yeah.
All right. Andrew G said, donated. And Andrew, have you guys seen any Lower Decks yet? I was not into the idea of an anime Star Trek comedy because it just seemed like another Rick and Morty wannabe, because that's the cool thing now, but it's actually not bad. I enjoyed it. Check it out, people. Alex, have you seen it? The Star Trek Lower Decks on CBS All Access. Have you watched it?
I feel nothing for Star Trek. I'm sorry.
Woo!
I feel nothing. It's all good. I think it's fine. I feel like I haven't seen enough of Star Trek. I've seen one Star Trek movie, I think. I've seen 2009 Star Trek. That's it. I haven't seen any of the TV shows. I haven't seen any of the movies. It's just, you know, like I just haven't seen it. And so it's just, I think it's awesome that you love it. And I love that people in the chats love it. I think it's amazing. There's no hate of it. I think it's an amazing, you know, sci-fi world. I just don't know it. I'm like, cool. I'm excited all for right. you, but that's all I got. I'm sorry.
Fair enough. No, don't apologize. I'm never gonna ding
apparently
you for that. You
I like do. What you okay. Like. it just hasn't come up. I feel nothing. I'm sorry.
I respect it. I personally love Star Trek's Matt. In fact, before I came on the show, and I think I can fully admit this, is why I was a little bit late. Star Trek II: Wrath of Khan was on, and I just had to finish watching this one scene before I jumped onto the show. So I apologize that I was 4 minutes late, but I had to finish watching this scene. I know I own it, but you know, when you can, when you're watching it and you flip on it randomly and it's on TV, you kind of have to watch sometimes. It's one of some of your favorite movies, and Wrath of Khan is one of my favorites. So, but hey. Go ahead.
I mean, I have the same thing with that for other shows. You probably don't feel the same thing, feel that way about Sailor Moon.
I don't.
Or Cowboy Bebop or Paranoia Agent. So, and if you said, oh, Paranoia Agents, whatever, I'd be like,
right.
So,
I get it. So you get it. You know. That's right. Fair enough. And Andrew, I haven't watched the Lower Decks yet. I will be watching it because even Jason Inman, who was my guest on the Outlaw Nation show a couple weeks ago, he said it was fantastic and he ripped through it. So that's as big of a recommendation as I can get, because I trust Jason's taste on Star Trek stuff. So glad to see you liked it as well, as an animation guy, Andrew G. Thank you. Philly G donated. He said, click the like button, people. Oh, thanks, Philly G. Yeah, sent in some nice scratch here and said, click the like button. So let's see where we're at right now, like button wise. We're at 179 y'all watching, but only 94 likes. Come on, people. Let's get to 150 likes. Hit that thumbs up button. It doesn't cost you anything. You know, you can do it. So come aboard. All right, let's move on to our next story here. And please keep sending in your Streamlabs and your Super Chats to support the show. We really respect it and appreciate it. Well, speaking of Marvel and speaking of WandaVision and speaking of Jock Schaefer, who has written on some of the some Reds, is show running and writing WandaVision. He is also one of the writers on Black Widow. Black Widow right now and Soul, there was an article that came out saying that Black Widow will reportedly be delayed from its planned November 6th release date. This is according to Variety. Multiple sources are telling Variety that this is going to happen, and they are exploring various release options for Pixar's Soul, which was supposed to come out on November 20th. And there have been rumors that it might go to Disney Plus even, but a Disney insider is disputing that, and it's unclear if it'll be free of charge or if it'll take the Mulan route and go to Premier Access, quote-unquote Premier Access. And with the recent delays of Wonder Woman 1984 and Candyman and then Greenland, I mean, the only one left right now is No Time to Die on November 20th. So is that going to be moved? We don't know yet. Around 70% of U.S. cinemas have opened, but many are having trouble attracting audiences while New York and L.A. are pretty much shut down. Warner Brothers thought The Tenet would usher in a return, but the film has only made a disappointing $29 million in release in North America. So two questions for you, Alex. Are you surprised that Black Widow is being pushed? And B, would you be surprised if Soul ended up on Disney Plus first?
I don't want Soul on Disney Plus. I understand it. Just, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on. Pixar, it's like... I feel like whatever about Christopher Nolan movies, we've kind of talked about that nonstop, but because they're all the same. But Denis Villeneuve, however, now Dune is a movie I have to see in theater because visually it's spectacular. And that again, I am willing to wait another year for because I'm that excited for it. Yeah. I'm willing to be patient because it is so stunning. I feel very similar about Soul, honestly. Pixar is definitely, obviously, one of those studios. It's every single movie is just so, so beautiful. And also, they don't exactly come out with 10 movies a year, you know? And sure, they just put so much heart and, pun not intended, soul into each and every movie that, you know, there's so much work that goes each and every one of them.
Yeah,
it's just fantastic, and I'm okay with waiting personally. But I know Scoob made money, Trolls World Tour made money.
Yeah.
Onward, I don't know if that made money considering what its purpose was, since it went straight to streaming. But you know, whatever. So you know, I'm not surprised that they need to put more content on their streaming channel.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd be surprised if they put Soul out there for Premier Access and what have you, because I think they had aspirations for Soul to be their Oscar nominee, to be their hands down Oscar bait film to win Best Animated Feature, possibly be nominated for Best Picture. We don't know, but they certainly felt that this was the one. I have a friend who works at Disney, told me that the marketing budget for Onward was slashed, and that money was diverted to Soul because they felt Soul was their better chance at getting an Oscar for Best Animated Feature, at least. And so they've certainly hyped it up. The trailers have been incredible. To have it go to Disney Plus, yes, it'd be nice to see it. Most of us have decent-sized televisions now. They're pretty much affordable now. But it would be something very big that would be lost because you're not going to have that communal experience that you enjoy in a theater with a Pixar movie where people go. I would say Pixar movies and Marvel movies, and maybe an occasional DC movie, is about as close as you can get to a sporting event inside a movie theater. That communal feeling where strangers will look at each other after a moment and be like, right? Like, and share a connection and a vibe, or cry. Certainly, absolutely. You can hear people crying. All of that. And certainly Pixar does that. I remember multiple occasions where I was crying and other people around me were crying, and there was no shame in our game about crying at a Pixar movie. So those things that bring people together to have it now be in our homes, although we would still enjoy the movie, I believe it would suck to lose that element of connectivity that unites us as human beings when we watch a piece of media that we enjoy together in a theater. So, yeah, I think it would be a shame, and I'd be surprised to see it go. I don't know why they can't just wait till next year, and why it's such a big deal to wait till next year. I know financially it's tough, but, I mean, if people aren't going to come to see the movie anyway, it doesn't make sense. I mean, Tenet is right there. Tenet was essentially the first film out there to try to prove that there was still an audience for movie going. Still an audience for people to go to the movie theater, and there wasn't. So I think all these studios now have to push everything back. And we might be hearing something really soon about James Bond. And then we might be hearing something really soon about Dune. Don't be surprised about Dune being pushed off in December as well. So yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the studios need to make money somehow, unfortunately. And this is like one of the only things that they can do to really keep people excited and interested in their streaming services and everything. So, I mean, like I said, I went through the Disney Plus filmography, and I was like, I don't care about this, classic Disney movies, whatever. Star Wars, already marathoned that like recently.
Right.
Pirates of the Caribbean. Yo, I'm all excited about that. But there's nothing else that really got me excited, honestly, outside of like some documentaries and stuff. So honestly, this would probably be the closest thing to really getting me hyped about, you know, something going on Disney Plus again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the question is too, what we talked about this the other day, if it gets pushed, there's no way they're not removing some of those connections to other films, so then it becomes a one-off. So if they do that, then there's no real reason to drop it in the theater, and you might as well drop it on Disney Plus. I think Black Widow could be something you could drop on Disney Plus and make some money off of, or Premier Access, because people just want to watch it, and it's not necessarily going to be connected to the overall Marvel Phase 5 stuff. So I don't know what they'll do with that. I don't know how they re-edit the movie, but it's certainly possible.
Do you think it will be Pixar? It is a Pixar movie. Do you think it's going to go straight to the streaming service, or do you think it's going to be like another $30 situation?
Yeah, $30 situation. No like, way. No way.
Like, whatever about Mulan, but
yeah,
I'll pay money for this. It's a Pixar event, y'all. I will pay money.
Right. And I have a feeling they'll release it early for some people to watch, streaming links for reviewers, so they can like hype up the film and put it out there for people to enjoy. I think they did do that with Mulan too, but the reviews weren't so great. So I think that kind of affected how much money was spent. So I think with Pixar Soul, if they release a little bit early for people to review and watch, I think it'll be absolutely hyped up so that people will spend the money for it. And if people want to spend the money for it as well. So we shall see. Oh yeah. NBA players, they got to see Black Widow. That's right. They can't talk about it, but they did get to see it. It was one of the perks of being in the bubble. They got to see Black Widow, which I don't know how that worked out, but I guess that's synergy with ABC, Disney, owning Marvel. Yeah, that makes sense. Yep. The NBA, because the NBA was on ABC. All right, there we go. There. That's your answer right there. Okay. All right. Yep.
Yeah, I'll be right back.
All right. I'll drop you out, Alex. There we go. All right. Alex jumping out for a second. Had to handle some things going on. Maybe your cats are fighting again. So we shall see. Well, it's our time where we usually do a promotion, take a break and do the little bit of promotion for our channels anyway. So I might as well do mine while Alex is unavoidably detained at this point. All right. So this morning we dropped a new review on the Outlaw Nation channel. Remember, I told you guys I am doing a lot of reviews, or trying to do more reviews here on the channel. And certainly one of those reviews that we got to do was with my boys on the Geek Buddies. I sat down with them to do a Geek Buddies review of The Boys Season 2, Episodes 1 through 4. 1 through 4, we finally got around to watching all four of the first episodes of Season 2. We dropped that review this morning at 7 a.m. My patrons told me 7 a.m. is a good time to drop some videos in the morning, so I dropped that one there for people to talk about and enjoy. Also got a new episode of The Geek Buddies that dropped as well, so you can watch that Geek Buddy show. That dropped yesterday. You can watch that show and then watch our review of The Boys Season 2. It's about 30 minutes, the review, so it doesn't take too much of your time as well. Of course, we also have the review for Ted Lasso. That is up now. If you've been keeping up with Ted Lasso, they're just about to hit episode 8. So episodes 4 through 7, we dropped that review for you to watch and enjoy as well. And then tomorrow live is Strong Style. And we're doing that. We are doing a new episode of Strong Style, the professional wrestling show here on the Outlaw Nation channel. Me and Aaron Turner, we're going to cover this match here from Double or Nothing between Cody Rhodes and Dustin Rhodes. You know, it was a bloody masterpiece. So we'll be talking about all of that tomorrow live at 4 p.m. PT on the Outlaw Nation channel. Maybe about 4:15, maybe. We're going to figure that out. And the reason for that is also tomorrow live on the Cinephiles YouTube channel. The Cinephiles YouTube channel, for those of you who are Cinephiles fans, we will be doing a live stream for a couple of hours or a little bit, maybe an hour and a half, talking about what is happening in the Cinephiles as we cross 200 episodes. We've got a 200th episode documentary that we've been shooting about the making of the Cinephiles with special guests involved in that as well. We're talking about our new charity stream that we're doing for Black Panther that we got coming up, and hopefully be able to announce the two guests who will be our guests for Black Panther. All of that will be there on the Cinephiles YouTube channel as well. And then, of course, a new episode of the Top 10. That is out for you all to enjoy and have fun. The Top 10 non-superhero comic book movies, that is out there for you all to watch and to listen to there. And then tonight, 7 p.m. PT live on the Outlaw Nation channel, it is Impolite Truths. Me and Dorina Arellano breaking down all the madness that's happening in the world of politics at 7 p.m. tonight. The craziness with Caputo going insane and being put on a leave of absence. Trump and Biden trading falsehoods on the campaign trail. The whistleblower stuff with ICE and the CDC madness that's going on as well. So all of that will be covered by us tonight. So come in live and hang out with us and get your questions answered and get your politics out there. Get your statements addressed by us there on the show. All right. Is there anything else? Oh yeah. I mentioned Laura Kelly, right? Did I mention Laura Kelly on the Outlaw Nation show? If you haven't watched the most recent Outlaw Nation show that dropped this week, I had a great time with Laura Kelly. 2 hours, 2 hours, 15, 2 hours and 20 minutes of us just talking about life, talking about Star Wars, talking about her experiences, talking about her personally, talking about everything and having some great questions from the fans. And Laura had a really great time on the show. And also, I dropped a mini review of the Mandalorian Season 2 trailer. So we talked about it on the show, so I clipped it out as a separate video and put it up there on the channel if y'all would just want to watch that 8-minute pseudo-review of the Mandalorian Season 2 trailer from me and Laura Kelly. A lot of fun as well. One last thing, and this is a Shimoda Entertainment Network thing. That is happening. That's right. The exhibition match between me and Christian Harloff for the Rocky title belt is happening tomorrow. For patrons, $10 and above patrons, it's dropping tomorrow for the YouTube to watch. So you can go to patreon.com/schmodown to watch that. Or if you're a $5 above patron, you'll get it the next Friday on the 25th, and then all patrons get it on the 2nd. But tomorrow for the $10 above patrons, that match is popping off me and Christian Harloff for the Rocky belt. So a lot of fun going on there. Can't wait to do that. All right, let me see if there's any Streamlabs or Super Chats that have rolled through here that I can answer for you all while we're waiting for Alex to come on back and move on to our next subject. Oh, Ben Rayner, he said, I would pay money for Black Widow, and I didn't pay for Mulan. Just too many mixed reviews for me, but I would pay like 20 for Black Widow. Well, I appreciate you saying that, Ben, but I have a feeling Black Widow would be much more than $20 for sure. Yeah, let me fix this until Alex comes back. There we go. Yeah, much more than $20 for sure. I have a feeling it'll be about $25, maybe $30, about like kind of what we saw for Mulan. I don't think it'll be $10 at all. So, all right, let's see here. Impolite Truth. Yeah, there we go. Thank you so much, Cheryl. I appreciate you doing that. She's very kind to put that. Oh, Is the stream dropped? No, it's people are responding to what I'm talking about, so I don't see that the stream has dropped. So just want to make sure. Yeah, you know it's true. We are going to go at it. We're both massive Rocky fans. I saw people saying, well, what about JT and Finstock? Son, please. I was watching Rocky movies before those two gentlemen were even effing born. So don't come at me with that nonsense. Christian and I going at it for the Rocky stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. You guys are going to enjoy that. And hit that like button. Thank you, Cheryl. Really appreciate it. We're at 164, 67 of y'all watching us, but only 117 likes. So let's get to 150 likes. Let's do this thing. Oh, Alex is back. Yo, everything all right?
Everything's spiffy. My cats required aggressive attention. My cats were like, oh my gosh. Right. And knowing them, they would just like plop on here and just start like nipping at the camera. So I'm like, I just got to nip this in the bud. I just got to take care of this real quickly.
Okay. All right. You know, there you go.
They're weenies. So
no, they're so cute.
Crazy.
All right, so let's move on to our next thing, Alex. I think you got our next thing coming up here. We've got a big announcement for who is show running She-Hulk.
Yes, absolutely. Guys, a Deadline made a really great exclusive just the other day that, you know, Kate Coiro, I feel like I'm, sure. I'm like not sure if I'm pronouncing it right. But she is she's leading a Disney Plus series focused on She-Hulk. Now, if you're not sure who this Kate Coiro is or She-Hulk is, we'll get educated, okay? So she is going to be, She-Hulk is really great. It's a wonderful character. Her name is Jennifer Walters. Mm-hmm. She's an attorney. She's a cousin of Bruce Banner, aka the Hulk, obviously, but during an emergency blood transfusion, you know, with Bruce, you know, that transfusion ended up giving her superpowers. And so versus, you know, unlike, you know, Bruce Banner, where he like hulks out and he's like, I'm angry, blah, I rip my shirt. She-Hulk, she has a lot of control over those powers. She can really control when she can transform. She can still maintain a lot of her personality and intelligence, even when she's like, hulked out, you feel me? All right. This has a lot of really great things attached to it. The Rick and Morty writer, her name is Jessica Gao. She was one of the head writers behind Rick and Morty. She's going to be involved with this, which makes me super excited. And like I said, you know, Coiro, I feel like I'm butchering it. You know, she is going to be leading this whole thing. She's not only going to be a director of not only the pilot episode, but she's also going to be in a handful of the other episodes, but she's also going to be an executive producer in the series as well. Now, if you're not familiar with who she is, you know, Kat Coiro, she's definitely done a lot of things. You know, overall, you know, she's been involved with It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Yep. She's done quite a few movies. She's been involved in Shameless, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, mm-hmm. Wish You Were Here, you know, so Modern Family as well. So she's definitely been in she's been focusing as a TV producer, director overall, and not so much focus on movies. But, you know, it makes me really excited because I do think she is an incredibly talented, mm-hmm. you know, filmmaker, director overall, and she has a lot of really great connections working with a lot of really wonderful people. And come on, She-Hulk. I mean, come on, guys, a She-Hulk. We've been wanting this for a very, very long time. Yeah. John, I know, obviously, you love the MCU. You know, you love courtroom dramas, and you love, you know, movies about lawyers and stuff in general, yeah. from what I remember. So yeah. Are you excited to kind of see this kind of potential go into Disney Plus?
Absolutely. And I'll tell you why, because she doesn't do well on the feature film route. These three films she's done, yes. Life Happens and While We Were Here, A Case of You, really didn't get received that well or reviewed well. But her work on TV has been fantastic. So maybe sometimes, just like some actors are better on TV than they are in feature films, and vice versa, some actors are better in feature films than they are on TV, the same thing can apply to directors. Some directors, TV is a better medium for them than theatrical films. And she's got a great resume. Brooklyn Nine-Nine, The Mick, Mozart in the Jungle, which is great. You mentioned Shameless and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. Also Dead to Me, which a lot of people enjoyed. Florida Girls, which happened recently. She did a TV movie called Happy Accident that's about two Pittsburgh families. And then she has a film that just finished up called Marry Me, which is going to, with Jennifer Lopez, Owen Wilson, and Sarah Silverman. They just started doing the press on that and announcing that. So is that going to be a film now that J-Lo is actually good? Another film that J-Lo might actually be good in and may actually get a good press for it? We shall see. But clearly, she's a woman with a lot of experience. So handing her the show She-Hulk to do on Disney Plus, mm-hmm. I think says two things. One, they definitely want it to have a comedic approach, a comedic style, a comedic bent. Mm-hmm. Not overall comedic, just comedic, because she's very good at directing comedic episodic mm-hmm. television, right? Like It's Always Sunny and others. So that's good. Plus, she's a woman who's seasoned as a director and experienced. So you're going to get a strong, mature voice through this show from whoever they cast as Jennifer Walters. I'm hearing from my sources, and I mean this, and I don't mean it to be a douche, but I mean this because I do have some sources, that Tatiana Maslany is apparently testing for something, is apparently being in talks or is testing for a possible Marvel show. So there's rumors that it could be Tatiana who does She-Hulk. That could be interesting. Which would be fun, which would be a lot of fun to see her, especially on the heels of Perry Mason and the heels of Orphan Black. Is she Jennifer Walters? Because certainly Tatiana Maslany can be a very fierce actress. Wouldn't she be interesting as She-Hulk? So her and Kat Cairo, and she could do comedy, because certainly there was a lot of comedy in Orphan Black when she was doing all the multiple personalities. So yes, 1,000% excited about this, 1,000% interesting. So interested rather. So I like this. I like this choice.
Yeah, I definitely think that that would be a really great choice. I'm not surprised that she would be in consideration for sure. I think, you know, definitely on point. I would prefer someone older, but that's just personal preference.
Showrunner? Okay.
Yeah, just because I do think, you know, they're supposed to be Bruce Banner and Jennifer, they're cousins, you know, they're around the same age in theory, not to say they have to be, but, you know, I like that they can really, really go head to head and they are each other, they are equals, you know, and as far as like intelligence and the way they kind of troubleshoot and problem solve and everything. And I would prefer not to have like a mentor mentee, you know, because I know that could be the relationship they kind of go into, and I don't want that, you know. Okay. I would rather, you know, if anything, she has the one up on Hulk, honestly. Let's face it, you know, she's not going to Hulk out and go crazy. She can stay focused, you know, when she is, and, you know, as She-Hulk, and you know, maintain her intelligence and, and, you know, strategize when it comes to really kicking ass. And so I would prefer someone that's around the same age, you know, honestly.
You make a good point, because Mark Ruffalo was born in 67. Tatiana was born in 85. So Tatiana just crossing over just in 35 years old, whereas Mark is a little bit older. He's mid-50s. So, yeah, I get what your point.
If it was the niece, that'd be one thing or something along those lines. But...
okay.
No one's fooling anyone if they're saying that they're like siblings.
Right.
Like.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I hear what you're saying.
I mean, good for the parents, but come on.
That's fair. Well, we'll see. You know, I'm excited about this, at least as a choice for the director. We'll see where they go with the casting in this situation. And maybe they will make her the niece instead of, you know, the cousin. So maybe that's a possibility too. So you have more age appropriate situations going on there, but I agree with you. But then again, the Hulk's so messed up, you know, he's got his own journey. He shouldn't be mentoring anybody, to be honest with you. He's got his own thing.
You know, they would though.
I hope not. I hope in 2020, 2021, they don't go that route. I hope, but I hear you, Alex. It's a valid concern. Yeah,
it's not so much like a 2020 thing. It's just that we kind of haven't had enough of that kind of mentor mentee kind of situation in the MCU between Peter Parker and, you know, and Iron Man and everything. Yeah. It's just like it, you know, I'm kind of done with it, you know, whatever. Okay. But I would really just, we don't see that many female characters within the MCU or in that world that are not just, you know, up and coming, you know, like WandaVision, for example, or Black Widow. I love Black Widow. I think she's amazing, but let's face it. She doesn't compare to Iron Man or Hulk. You know, realistically, she's a cool spy with a cool baton. I mean,
right.
You know, so
1,000%,
you know, I want like a She-Hulk to be on the same level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually the same level.
Fair enough. Fair enough. All right. Well, speaking of mentor mentee, we got to talk about one of Alex's mentors. That's Madonna. Madonna is
so true. She's badass. I love it. She's amazing. I love her.
There's a biopic, and you know, I know about biopics as the outlaw, that about Madonna that is being set up at Universal Pictures with Madonna herself set to direct and co-write with Oscar winner Diablo Cody. Madonna, of course, has won multiple awards as a singer. She's been a writer, a producer, a filmmaker, activist, humanitarian. She is the best-selling female music artist in the world, in history, having sold 335 million records worldwide. So, you know, you can step to me with your Taylor Swift or your Katy Perry, anybody else. No one has eclipsed Madonna yet. She's still one of the biggest stars out there in terms of sales overall, legacy overall. Maybe not currently, but certainly overall. Madonna said in a statement, "I want to convey the incredible journey that life has taken me on as an artist, a musician, a dancer, a human being, trying to make a way in this world. The focus of this film will always be music. Music has kept me going and art has kept me alive. There are so many untold and inspiring stories, and who better to tell it than me? It's essential to share the roller coaster ride of my life with my voice and my vision." Amy Pascal, who worked with Madonna on A League of Their Own, will produce. Of course, Amy Pascal also did Little Women and Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. So, Alex Shawshank, I go to you first. A Madonna biopic directed by Madonna and co-written by Madonna. What's your feeling about this?
I don't know what you're talking about. I feel like this is definitely going to make dope money. No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not going to make money. Madonna has had, if we were to get a biopic, I would be mega excited because Madonna, she's definitely one of the most interesting, you know, figures in music that's, you know, around and still working today. I mean, she's like 70 something and still recording and dancing and touring internationally. It's amazing. She's also no stranger to controversy as well, obviously, between some comments she's made and some black appropriation. So, okay. But also, she has a very interesting, overall, a very interesting life. She is one of the, she was like one of the first huge sex symbols of the 80s, obviously. Mm-hmm. You know, like a virgin is forever iconic. But she also grew up in a small town up in Michigan, you know, to Catholic parents, immigrant Catholic Italian parents. So, you know, there's a lot of rebellion, a lot of weird things going on in the 80s. Let's be honest. That's a, do we need to talk about Wolf of Wall Street? Can we get like a music industry version of that movie? That'd be really interesting to see. So I definitely think this would be an amazing movie to helm. However, let's be honest, Madonna is not a great director. I saw the movie, it's the one where she directed. It was her directorial debut. It was like, it was about like English royals, the guy that abdicated throne. But that was a train wreck.
Yes.
Awful. Yeah. I'm really curious to see the people that she surrounds herself with to create this movie, if it is going to actually happen.
W.E. is what it was called. W was the George W. Bush.
By Oliver Stone.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. All right. So someone who's been alive and cognizant for the entire career of Madonna. This is some. Okay. Yes, this is very concerning. This is like if Michael Jackson was direct his own Michael Jackson biopic. This was like if Hulk Hogan was going to direct his own biopic. This is like if, John Lennon was going to direct his own biopic. I never trust anybody who has been the source of controversy throughout their entire career as someone to direct their own biopic. I think they could certainly be a consultant on it. I think they could certainly be a technical advisor on it. But I always think that if you're going to direct your own thing, you're going to make yourself be the hero of every situation you put yourself in. And in fact, the statement says inspiring stories, inspiring this or that. So she certainly tried. And listen, Madonna has been very guarded about her image and her PR and the way she comes across. And like you mentioned, there was appropriation issues. Certainly when Vogue came out, I remember that the people who had started that dance, she never asked them if she could use that dance in a video or put any of them in it. And there was a lot of drama about that. Certainly the Sean Penn situation, she suffered physical abuse at Sean Penn's hands. Are they going to cover that? But, you know, you watch that Madonna Truth or Dare documentary and she's a massive dick to Kevin Costner, which, of course, in retrospect now seems kind of maybe OK. But then some of the other stuff, you know, you've seen her be very judgmental, very guarded and can be controversial. by the same token, she's also insanely talented, savvy as hell, a smart businesswoman, an accomplished woman who's done so many things. So she is damn well worth a biopic, and it's about time there was one. I just don't think she should be involved as the director, and that's a lot of pressure for an actress to play her as Madonna is directing her. You know, this thing, where will the actor get to actually express their version of Madonna versus Madonna controlling what they do in their artistry and portraying Madonna? So those are my concerns when I hear that a person who has been controversial her entire career wants to direct her own biopic.
Yeah, it's definitely, I don't trust any star to direct their own biopic, honestly. Yeah. You know, I don't, actually scratch that. You know, the only person, only star I would be okay with directing their own biopic would be Tommy Wiseau, because maybe then we can get an origin story. Let's be honest.
That's great. I like that. I'm down with that.
Thank you. I try. But overall, yeah, it's definitely a weird choice that she would want to do. But like you said, she's definitely, you know, kind of similar to Angelina Jolie, where she's very guarded to and she's very in control of her PR, which is really interesting to see. Yeah. Now, I think this is a definitely a great idea to make this into a movie, like you said, for a million and one reasons. Yeah. I do think that she is going to require some real help behind the scenes, because I do not want this to turn out, I wouldn't want this to turn out like a Lifetime movie, like they did with like the Whitney Houston story or the TLC story or anything, because those were trash. Or the Aaliyah story. Oh. So I would be really curious to see. I also am really curious to see who Madonna would task in playing her. That'd be a big topic as well.
So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's Diablo Cody's involved. Diablo Cody's fantastic writer as well. Juno, loved Young Adult. She can be a damn. I know a lot of people like Jennifer's Body. Not my thing. Certainly a lot of people like Jennifer's Body. I don't want to piss off Alex. I know people love that movie.
I will fight you, sir. It is by far one of my top 10 black comedies of all time.
There you go. Ben Rayner saying Tom Hanks should direct his own biopic. Yeah, that I would accept. I would accept Tom Hanks directing his own biopic. Tom Hanks is a nice guy. I don't think there's any much controversy.
No, he is America's dad, Hollywood dad. Don't get us wrong. But if you're going to go into that, he's had some controversy himself.
Wow. Tom Hanks. Where'd you find that controversy? Tom Hanks? We talk about the same Tom Hanks? All right. I need to know. Do you have controversy with Tom Hanks? I don't know any controversy with Tom Hanks. You know, not Tom Cruise, Tom Hanks. You know we're saying Tom Hanks, right?
Yeah, T. Hanks.
Yeah, T. Hanks.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I don't know any controversy with Tom Hanks. Can you enlighten me? All right.
No.
All right. Naranjo, I don't know what you're doing, Naranjo, but I'm gonna put you in timeout because you're acting a fool up in here. All right, let's see. Let's get some Streamlabs before we have to get out of here in 4 minutes. All right, Jason Earhart, he said, "Hey, Alex and John, Outlaw Nation for life." Thank you, Jason. Really appreciate that, brother man. Very nice of you. Let's see. We also have Cinema Gorilla who donated straight through here. Let's see. Some Warner T. My internship had the Madonna script, which won the blacklist, but she didn't like it because the writer who wrote it wrote her as a very mean girl. And I always felt Madonna herself should be involved, especially to have the music. That said, I don't know anything about Madonna except for her work with Ali G. I'm from the 90s. And yes, maybe her directing is a bit much, but it's a basic story that can be done indie if they only focus on her early years. I personally wanted to pitch it as my first feature. We met with Emma Roberts and similar types. I feel Madonna can remove herself from it because it's a simple cookie cutter story of a young dancer who worked her Puerto Rican DJ boyfriend to make music, who worked with her Puerto Rican DJ boyfriend to make music. Oh yeah. I suppose you can go that route. Certainly if you go to, through the middle. Nobody knows what you're talking about. Nobody knows. Everyone's like, controversy. What controversy?
No, I do think that there have been rumors of controversy. You know, it's like there's nothing officially been confirmed. You know, it's all rumors. But yeah, I mean, like, he's America's Dad, and I don't want to get attacked on here. So
okay, fair enough. I hope it's not that QAnon bullshit. I hope it's not that QAnon bullshit. Because if it is, the fuck out of that shit.
I don't even know what you're talking about. But
oh, okay, cool.
But yeah, I love Tom Hanks overall, though. But it's just, yeah, but aside from like Tommy Wiseau, honestly, like I said, I mean, like, there's, I can't really, I feel like it creates such a biased idea of yourself. And let's be honest, I think the story of Madonna would almost be like a very, an anti-hero kind of situation. I think that'd be really, really cool to see, just because she has had such an interesting life, especially in her young career, that would be really cool to kind of focus on like the first 10 years of her career or something. But with Tom Hanks, I don't even know where you start. Like, he's a man, he's human. Okay. He's not perfect. And we have to remember that.
All right.
You know, when it comes to making these biopics, he wasn't always America's Dad.
Okay.
He was also gorgeous as well.
All right.
So just putting that out there. Gorgeous. All right.
I'm looking and I don't see anything substantial, but maybe I'm wrong. All right. All right. That's it. Let's get out of here. Apparently the stream has been dropping in and out for people. So I apologize, y'all. I don't think I hope it's not my internet. Maybe it's just like YouTube or whatever. So I apologize for the, but thank you so much for everybody who's been enduring the dropouts and stayed with us. Got 178 y'all watching us right now. Would love it if you sent it, would love it if you got us over 150 likes. We're 5 likes away. So as we're wrapping up, please hit that like button, hit that thumbs up and give us some love. Christine, thank you much for the kind donation right at the end there. There's no message. So I'll just say thank you very much, Christine. I really appreciate it. But yeah, can you all hit that like button as we wrap? Alex, where can they find you and everything you got going on real quick?
You can find me tonight debating the best sports movie in history, and my pick is White Man Can't Jump. So it's going to be a fun time.
Where at?
It's going to be the General's debate tonight on the Action Guide, so it's going to be really fun. So please definitely stay tuned for that. I also, you can find me here on Twitter. You can find me being part of the Call to Action podcast. You can find it on YouTube and everywhere podcasts are found.
There you go. You can follow me at The Roka Says on Twitter and on Instagram. Remember to subscribe to the channel down below. We're trying to get across those. We're about 14 subscribers away from crossing 14,000 subscribers. Yay. So please get us over that hump if you haven't subscribed yet. You know, you can subscribe and hit that bell so you get all the notifications about all the shows that are popping up here on the Outlaw Nation channel. So please do that. Subscribe. Hit like on this button, hit like on this video as well, and leave a comment. For those of you who are watching later after we go live, or after we finish live, rather, leaving a comment, hitting that like button, all you can do there to elevate the visibility of this show and this channel on the YouTube algorithm, I'd appreciate it. So hit that like and leave a comment down below. Leave a lot of comments, for God's sakes. Keep us going here on the Outlaw Nation channel and on Mornings with the Outlaw for sure. Remember all the stuff I got going on, you know, get involved in all of that. Don't forget tomorrow, the live stream on the Cinephiles YouTube channel at 2 p.m. Don't forget Strong Style tomorrow as well. Impolite Truth tonight, 7 p.m. PT live on the channel. And at 10 a.m. this morning, about 14 minutes over there on SCN Live, hosting that show. So, all right. Thanks, everybody. Take care of yourselves. We'll see you on Tuesday. Have a great weekend. And Alex, what do we always tell them?
Always, always wear a mask.